Hello and welcome to Your Financial Journey with Whitaker Myers Wealth Managers, where we will guide you to take control of your finances and give you financial peace. I'm Tim Hilterman, a certified financial planner and chief financial planning officer here at Whitaker Myers. Well, unlike the last few videos, I'm not going to share anything that will blow your mind. This is basic information that you not only need to know, but these are facts that you should remind yourself from time to time. Because if we forget the basic facts, it's very easy to get distracted. In fact, it's human nature to do two things: become overly fearful or overly optimistic. We can become fearful and give in to the financial media. Have you ever noticed that there are no headlines that say, "Breaking news, it's a normal day in the market, and stocks drifted slowly upward 0.25%. No, the financial media literally makes money when they incite a fearful reaction in you. Here are just a few examples I pulled off this week. Tariff shock ahead. Why there's now an incredible demand for physical gold in New York markets. Why you should be wary of the most admired companies. And why it's natural to click on fearful headlines, we can also get carried away with the new shiny thing. We might see a stock blasting up, where our buddy might tell us about his incredible returns, and we desire to participate in those gains too. Do you know anyone that owned a bunch of NVIDIA stock a couple years ago? How about Tesla? Bitcoin? You can go down the list. But the reality is, the truth doesn't lie in the doom and gloom, and it's not in the wild 100% returns in the latest fad. It's somewhere in the boring middle. So with that, let me share the top five things every person should know about investing in stocks. Number one, all investing involves taking risk. When it comes to investing, risk is defined as the possibility of loss. We all know stocks can go up and they can go down in value. But bonds can go down in value too, especially when interest rates are spiking like they did in 2022. "Well, Tim, that's why I put all my money in gold." Well, I hate to tell you this, but gold happens to be a commodity. According to Macro Trends, the inflation-adjusted price for an ounce of gold in 1980 peaked at $2,750 an ounce. Over the next two decades, gold went into a nosedive and lost almost 83% of its value. Now, there can be a place for gold in a portfolio. And in fact, gold has actually been on the rise lately. Price for an ounce of gold now, $2,793. You can also put your investments in guaranteed investments like CDs, money markets, or even cash. But did you know that there's a risk in holding cash? You don't believe me? Take a $100 bill, seal it in an envelope, and put it in your safe for 25 years. When you finally open up that envelope, you will not find a $100 bill. You'll find a $50 bill. That's right. The purchasing power of your $100 will shrink over time. And if all of your investments are in cash, you will be going backwards slowly over the years. Now, over time, stocks have returned more than bonds, and bonds have returned more than cash. Point number two everyone needs to know about stocks: how to time the market. And here it is. It's very complicated. You don't! I'm not saying it's never been done. But if you think you can magically get out of the market at the peak and get back in at just the right time, you are fooling yourself. Even if you manage to somehow get it right on the top side and you sold, let's say, right before the pandemic, you would have to be right again and get back in at just the right time. And here's the truth. The best time to get in the market is when everything seems bad. The bottom of the bear market during the great financial crisis was in March of 2009. There was mass unemployment, huge institutions were going bankrupt, and many people had lost 50% of their account value. But suddenly, the market turned around and started taking off, and there was no way for an investor to hit the timing just right and get back in. In fact, studies show that the typical investor averages 7.1% while the stock market in general averages 10%. And it's because investors try to time the market. So no, don't try to time the market. And do practice our next point, and that's dollar cost averaging. Dollar cost averaging refers to investing a fixed amount of dollars at regular intervals. Dollar cost averaging is the single best way to strap yourself in and stay the course with investing. Think about it. When you put the blinders on and put money into the market no matter what, you are guaranteed to get some of your dollars invested at the perfect time. I graduated college in May of 2002, and thank the Lord I landed a job as an engineer at Sprint. I was so jazzed to finally start investing. My living expenses were very low, and I was putting in 25% of my pay into my 401k. But do you know what the market was doing in 2002? Well, the dot-com meltdown was still going on, and September 11th had just happened. For an entire year, the market dropped. But as the market was going down, I was buying in at regular intervals, and some of those dollars hit the market at the very bottom. Point number four, diversification is the wonder drug of the investing world. Diversification lowers the odds of losing money and increases the odds that you will make money. Historical research has shown that only about 4% of stocks are responsible for all the returns in the market. Since it's almost statistically impossible to predict which company is going to be the next big performer, remaining diversified helps ensure you are participating in the winners of the market. And of course, we understand that diversification protects you from inordinate loss. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Everyone's heard that. As much as you like an investment, you always have to consider what will happen if this investment takes an unexpected loss or even goes to zero, because that can happen. This is why you have to be careful if you have an employee stock purchase program. Don't load up on that stock so much that it becomes 50% of your entire portfolio. What if, God forbid, there was a scandal in your company, or your biggest customer dropped you, or tariffs wiped out your profit and the company went bankrupt? This is also why many CFPs, when asked about investing in Bitcoin, only recommend having a 1 or 2% allocation to that. That's not to say you can't be excited and convicted about a stock or something like Bitcoin, but stay disciplined and consider the losing side of the trade and stay diversified. Finally, let's talk about the rule of 72. The rule of 72 helps you understand when you can expect your account to double in value. You divide 72 by the expected return, and it tells you how many years it will be until your account doubles. For example, if you achieve an 8% rate of return, 72 divided by 8 is 9. So you can expect your account to double in 9 years. Well, Tim, are you telling me that if I have $500,000 today that I'll magically have $1 million in 9 years? Well, yes. But let's go through all the fine print. No one can ever guarantee you a 9% return. And if you're shooting for a 9% return in the market, you are taking risk. Reference point number one in this video. But an aggressive, diversified portfolio has often been able to average 8, 9, or 10%. And for most young investors, you need a portion of your account to be doubling and then doubling again as you build a nest egg that, Lord willing, you will be living off of some point in the future. But always build your financial picture from the ground up. And I like to go back to Dave Ramsey's baby steps. Get out of debt. Build a solid emergency fund. Always save at least 15%. Pay off your house and build your wealth by dollar cost averaging, diversifying, and staying invested. Well, if you've enjoyed this video, I'd appreciate if you hit that like button. Be sure to subscribe to our channel to make sure you get our latest content. If you have a financial question, I'd love to hear it. Just drop a comment below. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Lord willing, I'll catch you next time.